If you're a bird and you want lots of attention from humans, your best bets are a dramatic color scheme or a loud, pretty song. Combine these characteristics, as the northern cardinal does, and you wind up as the state bird, and you get sports teams named after you. Forgo the pretty song and the bright colors, and you wind up as popular as, well, the chimney swift. For me, though, these gregarious little birds are part of the essence of summer, and their disappearance from our skies in early October is the surest sign that late summer has given way to early fall. One of the great things about observing chimney swifts is that most people can see them simply by stepping outside and looking up. They are on the wing from dusk to dawn, although they're most easily seen in the evening sky. This is especially true as they gather in flocks of hundreds for the journey to their winter range in South America. Perhaps you have seen one of these flocks, circling a large chimney late in the evening, with birds dropping in by ones and twos as they settle in to roost for the night. You can distinguish chimney swifts from the other dark birds commonly seen overhead by their shape and the patterns of their flight. They are small, stubby creatures, dubbed flying cigars by some, with sickle-shaped, backward-arcing wings. Their flight is best described as careening. They beat their wings rapidly, bank sharply, glide, dive, and soar, all in very quick succession, twittering amiably as they go. In fact, chimney swifts are known to ornithologists as the most aerial of eastern land birds. They feed while flying, catching insects and ballooning spiders. They drink while flying, by skimming the surface of a body of water with mouth open. They collect nesting material while flying, snapping off twigs from trees as they go by. Indeed, chimney swifts even do their courting and mating on the wing. That swifts live so much of their lives in the air is not simply a matter of preference. Their small but strong feet are designed for clinging to vertical surfaces, such as the chimneys where they so often nest and roost, and do not allow them to perch or stand upright the way songbirds do. Before chimney-building humans came to dominate the landscape of the eastern United States, chimney swifts favored large hollow trees for nesting and roosting. And having adapted to the use of chimneys, they expanded their range significantly over the course of the 20th century. Whereas prior to the 1940s, they were rare west of the Mississippi, they are now common from the east coast to the foot of the Rocky Mountains. Despite the expansion of their range, chimney swift numbers declined by about 1% a year between 1966 and 1996, according to the North American Breeding Bird Survey, with a current population that stands at around 15 million. How well chimney swifts do in the future depends largely on the availability of chimneys or chimney-like structures in their breeding range. Already there are groups in Texas that have designed and built towers specifically for swifts to make up for the decline in open chimneys in that state. For now, I'm glad the chimney swifts haven't gone south just yet, and I'll look forward to their return next spring.